the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God. Singing is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Welcome to Corinth, Paul. We have heard much of your work. The Lord God of the cross has been with you and blessed your efforts.
The Lord Jesus is good to me. And you, your wife Priscilla?
He has blessed us too. You will stay with us, of course.
If you wish.
Oh, we have plenty of room. And we're both tent makers, you and I. We could work together.
Corinth is a wicked city, I hear.
It's a great commercial center. Also, its people are given almost entirely to idol worship. They seem to care for nothing except the pleasures and gaieties of the hour. Oh, the Greeks believe that there is a need of elevating the human race, but they regard the study of philosophy and science as the only means of attaining true elevation and honor.
To the Israelites, Jesus on the cross is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. To me, the cross is the one subject of supreme interest, and I'm going to preach the cross ever and ever and ever again. For it is by the way of the cross that Jesus is glorified.
So Paul preached in the Israelite synagogue. Fearlessly he revealed their ignorance concerning the meaning of those scriptures which they boasted to understand. He rebuked their worldliness, their love of station, titles, and display, and their selfishness. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia to help Paul, they all continued to preach Christ and him crucified. Not only in words did they preach the gospel, but in their daily lives also. Angels cooperated with them, and the grace and power of God were shown in the conversion of many, including Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue.
They are nothing but low-down, lewd followers of Satan. All they say and do is through the power of the evil one, just like it was with that man they crucified. What's his name? Jesus of Nazareth. I wish with all my heart that Caiaphas and Annas and the rest of the priests and rulers at Jerusalem had killed Jesus and every one of his followers then and there. We wouldn't be having this trouble with Paul and his gang if they had.
I think they tried to, and many others have tried also. But it seems like the more one tries to get rid of them, the more prominent they get.
Of course. The devil forces his doctrines on people, and that's what Jesus did and Paul is doing. And now, of all things, Crispus, chief ruler of the synagogue, has joined with Paul. It makes me so angry I could kill him with my bare hands.
You know, Aquila, I've never felt quite like this before. The depravity and wickedness of the Gentiles and the contempt and insults of the Israelites almost discourage me.
Surely you're not planning to leave.
I'm thinking about it. However, I won't do anything unless I first seek God's will in the matter.
Be not afraid, Paul, but speak and hold not thy peace, for the Lord is with thee. He has many people in this city.
Well, Aquila, I'm going to stay. The Lord so instructed me, for he has many children in Corinth.
We're so happy, Paul.
I'm not going to preach as I did in Athens. Here I'm going to teach Christ on the cross in simple terms and words. The immediate needs, the present trials of suffering, struggling people, these must be met. Not with eloquent sermons, but with sound, practical instructions and help.
Now that Crispus has joined Paul and I've been made chief ruler of the synagogue in his place, I'm going to do something about Paul and his gang.
May I inquire what His Highness Sosthenes is going to do?
A new man has just come as proconsul of Achaia, correct?
Yes, Gallio is new here. He doesn't know much about what is going on.
I will arouse all the Israelites in Corinth, and in a body we will take Paul before the judgment seat of Gallio.
You mean you're going to arouse the people to mob hysteria?
Exactly.
Regardless of what you have to tell the people to get them in an excited, angry frame of mind?
Of course. We must be rid of Paul at any cost. Getting rid of an agent of Satan is worth any means.
Now, I can see you're going to make quite a chief ruler.
I admit it.
Yes?
My name is Paul. My father was a Roman citizen, my mother an Israelite.
What do you want?
You might say that I'm a preacher. Would like to talk with you about religion.
Paul. Well, now I know where I've heard that name. You're head of the new Christian doctrines, teaching them here in Corinth. I've heard quite a lot about you. Would like to talk to you. Come in.
Thank you.
Be seated.
Yes, thank you.
Why did you pick me to call on?
I'm going from door to door and telling the story of salvation to all who will listen. It's a new way of preaching. But I do get to tell the way of salvation to a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't hear it.
You are my people. I am your chief religious ruler. God has given me charge over you. You are to follow the religious instruction God gives to you through me. I command you, then, in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to follow me and take one named Paul, who is teaching the doctrines of Satan as doctrines of God. This we cannot permit. If we did, we would be held accountable, just the same as if we ourselves were teaching such evil and wicked ways. Do you agree? We will take Paul to Gallio, proconsul of Achaia. It is our duty to be loud and angry and insistent together. Now, with me, away with Paul!
Away with Paul!
Quiet them down.
Quiet! Quiet now, quiet!
I believe you are the new chief ruler of the Israelite synagogue?
Yes, Your Honor.
What can I do for you?
This fellow, I've brought him for you to judge according to his criminal offenses.
That is precisely why I am here.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
God, thank you for loving me.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me.
Thank you all for being on time for this week's Kids Bible Club. As you remember, I asked you to choose a favorite Bible text to memorize and share with the group and tell me why you like that particular passage. Rhiannon, how about you? I see you've got your finger on a text.
It's not a very big one.
Well, that's okay. In Scripture, every word counts.
Well, all right. My favorite text is John 11:35. It says, Jesus wept.
No wonder she chose that one. Just two words.
That's not why I chose it.
Okay. Don't get upset, Rhiannon. I'm sure Henry and the rest of us would like to know why that particular text is important to you.
It's just that sometimes I cry too. Like when my daddy died, I cried all the time. I couldn't stop. I just kept thinking about him and thinking about him. And it made me so lonely. People would come to the house and try to cheer me up, but I kept being sad. Then I remembered what you said in church about how we're supposed to find comfort in the Bible. Well, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know where to look. So I just started reading, and I found this story about when Jesus' friend, Lazarus, died, and Jesus went to visit Lazarus' sisters. And when he saw them crying, he started crying too. He just cried. Jesus wept. I guess I needed someone to cry with me for a while. That's why the text is my favorite. When I read it, I know that Jesus understands what I'm going through. He really, really understands.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 4, The Perfect Wedding. Mrs. Shoe, who had the best wedding in the Bible? Maria asked. Their lesson in the shoebox was over, and Maria had been wanting to ask her question all morning. Mrs. Shoe's eyebrows went up as she thought, I believe I like the first marriage the most. Now everyone's eyebrows went up. No one could think of who Mrs. Shoe was talking about. Willie Teller wasn't afraid to ask, I can't think, who had the first wedding? Mrs. Shoe smiled, but before she could answer, Sammy raised his hand. It must have been Jacob, Sammy said without being asked. He worked hard for 7 years to marry Rachel, but instead his uncle gave him his oldest daughter, Leah, to marry. Then he had to work another 7 years to marry Rachel. Sammy, you remember that story very well, Mrs. Shoe said, but I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking about Jacob. Then who? Jenny asked. Suddenly, Dee Dee grinned. Was it when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac? Mrs. Shoe slowly shook her head. No, not Isaac and Rebecca, she said. Maria sighed. A lot of people got married in Bible times. That's true, Maria, Mrs. Shoe replied, but keep trying. These two people I am thinking about were married by God himself. Can you imagine how special that must have been? Jenny's eyes got big. Oh, do you mean Adam and Eve? Right, Jenny, Mrs. Shoe said as she reached for her Bible. Genesis 2:18 says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him. Mrs. Shoe looked at her class, and in verse 22 it says, Then the Lord brought the woman to the man. And if we read further in verse 24, it says, So a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two people will become one body. ICB. I guess that would have to be the most perfect wedding, Maria agreed. Since my aunt is going to be married tomorrow, I was trying to explain to Yo-Yo how people stay married. I told her that if their wedding is perfect, two people will stay together forever. Maria didn't see the frown on Jenny's face or Dee Dee shaking her head. Sammy and Willie seemed confused, but they didn't say anything. I think Maria's wrong, Dee Dee said. Don't they just have to love each other? A perfect wedding doesn't mean a marriage is going to last forever. I think you have part of the answer, Dee Dee, Mrs. Shoe said. And Maria, it does help for two people to get started right when they are married. But there is much more to marriage than a beautiful wedding. Jenny raised her hand halfway. When Maria saw Jenny, she suddenly remembered that Jenny's parents were divorced and that it must be sort of hard for her to talk about weddings and marriages and stuff. Mrs. Shoe smiled. Yes, Jenny? The shoebox grew quiet as Jenny cleared her throat. It doesn't always work that way, Dee Dee, just like Mrs. Shoe said, Jenny said softly. Then she looked at Maria. Mom said hers and Dad's wedding was beautiful and perfect. She said it was a very happy day. She told me they loved each other very much, but they still got divorced. Maria stared at the floor. Suddenly, hoping for a perfect wedding seemed silly. I wanted so much for Angie's wedding to be beautiful, just like the weddings on TV and in books. Later in her room, Maria could hear her mother and sister talking in excited voices about the wedding rehearsal. I'd be excited, too, if I had a long, pretty dress for the wedding, Maria thought. At least no one has to dress up for the rehearsal. But if I go to the rehearsal and learn what I'm supposed to do, then I'll have to go to the wedding. She walked slowly down the stairs when it was time to go. Why do you look so unhappy? Mrs. Vargas asked. I don't want to go to the rehearsal, Maria replied. Chris thumped down the stairs behind Maria. You're still unhappy about that dress? What's the big deal? Leave me alone, Maria mumbled. Mom patted Chris's arm. Go on to the car, dear, and leave Maria alone, please. At least I'm not complaining about going to some wedding rehearsal, Chris said as he headed the rest of the way down the stairs. You would if you had to wear a dress that was different from everyone else's, Maria argued. Chris laughed as he opened the door. You're right about that. I'd complain if someone wanted me to wear the same dress as anyone else. I'd run away screaming. Maria stuck out her tongue at Chris's back, but she could hardly hold back her laugh. He would look funny in a dress, she decided. Dad followed Chris to the door, then turned to Mom and Maria. "Don't be too long," he said. "We don't want to be late for the rehearsal." "You wait in the car with Chris and Yo-Yo, dear," Mom said. "Maria and I will be out in a minute." After Dad had gone, Maria felt like she needed to talk. "Mom, I wish I didn't have to go to the wedding. I wish I didn't have to walk up the aisle in that dress. And I wish I didn't have to stand up front where everyone can look at me and wonder why I'm not wearing a long dress like everyone else. Nothing is going to be the way I dreamed it would be." Mrs. Vargas hugged Maria. "I'm sorry. I know how much being part of Angie's wedding meant to you. When I was a little girl, I had many of the same dreams about beautiful weddings and princes and princesses that you do." "You did? Did you dream about having the most beautiful wedding in the world and wearing the most beautiful clothes and stuff like that, just like in books and things?" Mrs. Vargas smiled warmly. "Yes, I did. And I did have a beautiful wedding. But there is more to being married than having a beautiful wedding. There is love and trust and commitment." "What is commitment?" Maria asked. "Commitment is doing what you say you will do. It means the same thing as making a vow or a promise. When two people say their vows at their wedding, they are making a commitment to each other to do what they have promised. When two people honor their commitment to each other, they are helping their marriage last." "So a commitment is like keeping a promise?" Maria asked, thinking she understood. "Yes," Mrs. Vargas said seriously. "Keeping a promise is very much like honoring a commitment. Doing what you say you will do is a very good thing to learn, especially when you are young. The ability to stay committed to something doesn't happen overnight, Maria. It is something we must teach ourselves to do." Maria's mind was spinning. This sounded like grown-up stuff, and Mom was trying to tell her something important. Maria thought she knew what message Mom was trying to get across, too. "Does that also mean that I should be in Angie's wedding even if I don't want to? That since I promised to be a junior bridesmaid, no matter what happens, I should do it?" "I think you know the answer, Maria." Maria sighed. "I do, Mom."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.